This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Fresh Air's Comedy Week continues with some great musical satire. The Ruddles is a band that was created in the 70s to spoof the Beatles. This year, the Ruddles released a reunion album. Earlier this year, I spoke with Neil Innes. He co-founded the Ruddles with Eric Idle of Monty Python fame. Innes wrote and produced the Ruddles' music. Idle wrote and co-produced a spoof documentary film called The Ruddles, which is now out on video. George Harrison, a genuine Beatle and a longtime friend of Innes, appeared in the Ruddles documentary as a TV interviewer. Neil Innes also wrote a lot of music for Monty Python and co-founded the cult music comedy group The Bonzo Dog Band. The Ruddles started after Eric Idle asked Neil Innes to help write a parody of A Hard Day's Night for a British comedy series called Rutland Weekly TV.
That's all it was, initially. And then there was a whole sequence of excitement and disappointment about the Beatles getting together again in New York, and I think somebody was offering $3 million or something if the Beatles could get back together again. And on Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels came up with the idea to offer $3,000.
Right.
And, and he actually got George Harrison to turn up and accept it, only to be told he had to share it with the other three, although he needn't tell Ringo. This sort of banter, you know. And then they got Eric Idle to host the show because he said he could get the Beatles together for $300. And so, in fact, he couldn't, but in fact, what he'd got was the Ruttles, and so they showed the Ruttles instead on Saturday Night Live. And the mailbag response was such that, you know, that Lorne was able to go to NBC and get the money to make the whole story.
Oh, so that's how the whole the Ruddles movie got started.
That's right. And it was because of the chance to make the movie, they turned around to me and said, look, can we have 20 more Ruttles songs by next Thursday lunchtime? And that's how I became a parodist.
So what did you do? Go back and listen to all the Beatles songs and really study them and deconstruct them?
No, I didn't. I knew if I'd listened to the Beatles songs, it would have just been, you know, I'd been overawed. You know, I just couldn't have got an idea. So I thought back to the various sort of milestones or signposts of their career, and I thought about how I'd heard it, because, I mean, I'm a contemporary. I'd been around, and I thought about what I was doing. And I started writing songs from that perspective. Sort of my own songs. I mean, I knew they'd have to have different tunes and different lyrics, you know. So I had to write my own songs. And then once the songs were written, I sort of listened to Beatles records very hard to listen to the production techniques and things like that. And then we had to put on these silly Rutland accents and talk like that. And that's how, you know, Ruttle music was born.
Let me play one of the songs that I particularly like. This is Hold My Hand. This is a kind of summary almost of the Beatles' early songs. Lyrically, it has I Want to Hold Your Hand and Please Please Me. And musically, it also has All My Lovin' in it.
No, it doesn't. You're just saying that.
Yes, it does.
Well, I can't hear it.
No?
No.
Really?
It's a different tune and a different lyric.
Oh.
Anyway, well, let the people decide. Yeah.
My producer says I'm right.
Oh. Well, in that case, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm leaving in a huff. And if that's not quick enough, I'm leaving in a minute and a half. Your producer's miming the same line. We obviously, your producer and I, like the Marx Brothers, we obviously get on.
Well, let's let the listeners be the judge. This is Neil in a song. Hold My Hand, sung by The Ruddles.
I'm not the kind of guy who likes to play Big Brother, but I've just seen your date outside. He's with another. I saw you both come in. Clearly you're not meant for him. So please, please hold my hand. Hold my hand, yeah, yeah. Hold my hand, yeah, yeah. Hold my hand and I'll see you home.
Okay, Neil Innes, who was right?
I don't know. Well, you have to remind me what the original Beatles were. In fact, I just hearing it then, I think the bongos are too loud because we were amazed to hear there's bongos and things going on, and so I think we just put in these various sounds and mixed them up in our own way.
What else did you want to capture from the early sound of the Beatles?
Well, also that it was done on a lot less sophisticated equipment than we were working on. I think it wasn't until Sgt. Pepper that, and then they strung four-track machines or even more together to get all the multi-tracking going. And we were working on 24-track, and it was all rather super-duper. And so we had to actually, squash the sound a bit to make it sound as though it had been recorded on less sophisticated equipment.
Now,
we haven't done that this time around. We haven't been quite so anal about the accuracy, whatever.
I wonder what you were doing when the Beatles first became popular. Were you playing music yet? How old were you?
I'm only a couple of years younger than them.
Maybe
four. I don't know. But I was at art school, I think, when I first heard them. I was about 16 or 17. And I think it was She Loves You or something like that, come on. And I wasn't, really aware of the Beatles much, and because I was mucking about at art school. I was quite a serious art student.
So you weren't very aware of the Beatles. When did you become very aware of the Beatles?
Oh, well, I think I really started to admire them when Penny Lane came out. I thought that was such a good song. It had sort of lots of images and it had such a interesting construction.
Did you follow them into the psychedelia period? Did you play their records backwards?
No, I enjoyed them. Because by then I think we'd got our own band called the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. It started off as the Bonzo Dog Dada Band, but we got rather tired of trying to explain to tedious people who wanted to know what Dada meant and to explain what a turn of the century anti-art movement was in a few brief sentences proved rather difficult, and so we changed Dada to Doodah. So that's what we were doing. We were art students. We were playing in pubs and whatnot. And in fact, we started looking more like the Beatles looked before they did. And we were going around with sort of silly moustaches and weird jackets and trousers. And lo and behold, then out comes Strawberry Fields and they've got moustaches and round glasses. We thought they were trying to steal our act, you see.
Well, the Bonzo Dog Band was... I'm glad you told the story about how the name came about. I had no idea that you started out as the Dada Band. But the Bonzos were such a great band, really funny. You did a lot of... all the songs there were absurd or funny or parodies of a certain style. How did that come about?
Well, we started off, we just enjoyed making this kind of terrible row, really. Nobody was very good on the instruments, but we used to go down to sort of street markets and find old wind-up 78 gramophone records, which you could buy for a few pennies. And this is, normal student fun. The least money on the most fun is what you have to, try and budget for. And we'd take these things back and not know what they were until we got them home, and we put them on the wind-up gramophone, and there'd be... a title, sort of like, I'm going to bring a watermelon to my girl tonight. But you see, you sniff that one out. You think, aha, there might be something here. And sometimes there was a giveaway on the label saying novelty foxtrot. So you take that home and then you find this silly song with a silly tune and a lyric like, I brought my love an apple, she let me hold her hand. I brought my love a banana, we kissed beneath the band. I brought my love an orange, she let me squeeze her tight. I'm going to bring a watermelon to my girl tonight. And stuff like, he kissed her. Who did? He did. Where? On her doorstep last night. And we just learnt this stuff and played it in licensed establishments. And it proved to be very good drinking music. And we got, pocket money for doing it. And one of the things was, we had a manager at the time that was quite, let's say, frugal. If we'd spent 2 hours on a track, he said, right, next one. And we sort of, but we haven't finished, please, sir, he said, well, you can't take longer than 2 hours, 3 hours at the most, And we had this song, The Open Spaceman, that we wanted to do. And Viv Stanshaw was down, I think it was in the Speakeasy Club in London, and bumped into Paul, as he often did. And he's moaning about the fact that this bloke, you know, wouldn't let us finish what we were doing. And Paul said, well, I'll come down and produce it. And so he did. So Paul came along and produced Urban Spaceman. And
was it Paul
anyway.
McCartney?
Yeah, sorry, yes, Paul McCartney. Who else? This is the Ruttle Show. not any old Paul. I mean, Paul Revere? I mean, never mind. No, yeah, he came down and he produced Urban Spaceman for us. And it was the only way we could get this guy off the control knobs. And it was really funny, actually, because he came in... Because we'd all, you know, met all the lads before from the Magical Mystery Tour. But he said, I've just written this, you know. And all of us, we've got to remember, all of us were hyped up to the fact we had to work quickly in the studio and do all this. And he's sort of very relaxed. He sort of waddles over the piano and starts playing, you know. He starts going, hey, Jude. And it hadn't been released. It was the first time, you know, probably anybody outside his close circle had heard it, you know. And I thought, this is... It's not, because he's got a great voice, it's a nice melody, but very slow and it goes on a bit. Hasn't he got any idea of how much studio time costs, you know? But eventually, you know, we made the record and it was a very good sporting thing of him to do. And we said immediately, you know, so we can't put your name on it, it'll be a bloody hit immediately, you know. So he said, well, what do you want to put then? We said, well, how about Apollo C. Vermouth as the producer? And he said, yeah, all right. And so it went out as the Bonzo Dog Band. We dropped the doodah because of the change of style, but the Bonzo Dog Band Urban Spaceman, produced by Apollo C. Vermouth.
And it's your song. You wrote the song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing was, it struggled up the hit parade and got to about 17 or thereabouts, and then management couldn't stand it anymore and told everyone, in fact, Apollo C. Vermouth was Paul McCartney, and it shot up to number 5.
Yeah.
But that was the only hit the Bonzos had, and we certainly didn't intend to have another one. It was a great, rigorous experience.
Well, why don't we hear I'm the Urban Spaceman?
Okay.
Here it is.
I'm the Urban Spaceman. I'm intelligent and clean.
That's the Bonzo Dog Band, a song written by my guest, Neil Innes, and you're singing lead on it, yes?
Yes, I'm doing the vocal on it, yeah. In fact, that funny noise on the end, sort of a whirring noise, is Viv Stanshaw with a garden hose and a trumpet mouthpiece put in one end and a plastic funnel on the other end, and he's whirling it round his head. And in fact, the engineer said, we can't record that, but Paul McCartney said, yes, of course you can, you know, just put a microphone in each corner of the room. It was a very good, fun session, but it took 8 hours.
My guest is Neil Innes, co-founder of the Bonzo Dog Band and the Ruttles, the band that spoofed the Beatles. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Neil Innes, co-founder of the Ruttles, a band he created to parody the Beatles. He also wrote music for Monty Python and co-founded the music comedy group the Bonzo Dog Band. There's something I need to play from the Bonzos, and this is the intro and the outro, which I think is one of the great absurdist pieces of music ever yeah, committed to vinyl.
It's a minor classic, isn't it?
It's wonderful. And this was written by Viv Stanshaw, one of the members of the band. Tell us a little bit about what it was like to record this.
Well, you've got to realize that Viv was an extraordinary character. When I first met him, he was slightly overweight and wearing check trousers like Billy Bunter and a Victorian frock coat. He had oval mauve pince-nez glasses, you know, the ones without side bits, just perch on the nose, carrying a euphonium under his arm, and large pink rubber ears, false ears. And I thought, well, he's an interesting character. And it was his idea to do the intro and the outro, and it's such a silly, simple idea, but when we did it on four track, we almost gave up because we had to sort of bounce everything down to another one track and then do more and more. But if you play it, you'll see that it's, you know, these days that people may not believe that it was actually done on four tracks, but it was. But it's a lot of fun. We had a politician called Quentin Hogg who became Lord Chancellor, and we thought it'd be fun to have him on Pig Grunt. But he was very litigious in the 60s, and so we thought we'd write a letter saying, we wanted to include him on Pig Grunt. Did he have any problems? And his secretary wrote back and said, Lord Hogg hasn't had the chance to listen to the record, but perhaps better remove it to be on the safe side. So you hear this rather wild noise every now and again.
Well, let's hear the intro and the outro of the Bonzo Dog Band.
Hi there, nice to be with you. Happy you could stick around. Like to introduce Legs Larry Smith, drums. And Sam Spoon's rhythm pole. And Vern Dudley Bohay Noel, bass guitar. And Neil Innes, piano. Come in, Rodney Slater, alto saxophone. With Roger Ruskin Spear on tenor sax. Hi, Vivian Stanchel, trumpet. Big hello to Big John Wayne, xylophone. And Robert Morley, guitar. Billy Butlin, spoons. And looking very relaxed, Adolf Hitler on vibes. Nice. Princess Anne on sousaphone. Introducing Liberace, clarinet.
My guest is Neil Innes, one of the founders of the Bonzo Dog Band and one of the founders of The Ruddles, the band that parodied the Beatles. And not only is there a re-release on video of the documentary about The Ruddles, but The Ruddles have a new record, new songs by The Ruddles. The album is called Archaeology. And I think it's time to hear something from the new Ruddles. And I'm going to ask you to choose a song that you'd particularly like to hear from it and to tell us about writing it and what you were thinking of when you wrote it.
Well, why don't we start off with the one that kicks off the album? I mean, the whole point, all this time has gone by since we did the first one, and I think we need to remind people what the Ruddles were, and this is a kind of curtain raiser, and it has a kind of a very obvious, you know, parallel with Sergeant Pepper. And it's called Major Happy's up-and-coming Once Upon a Good Time Band. But this album is much more of an autobiographical album about the Ruddles, whereas the first album was more or less a semi-official biography of the Beatles, but in a silly way. So this is Major Happy. And if you say Major Happy, you see Major Happy.
Ah,
it could
right.
be Made You Happy.
Or as in Major, saluting the Major Happy.
Absolutely.
My favorite part of the song is the way there's a count off after the song has begun.
Yeah. Well, anything goes.
That's right. Okay, this is from the new Ruddles album, Archaeology. What was it like for you to get back in the Ruddles spirit after having left it for so many years?
Well, good question, because I was a little reluctant, actually. The whole thing about the first one was in 1978, you know, in much happier times, and along comes 1980 and the appalling assassination of John Lennon. And in fact, I remember Eric and I talking very earnestly about maybe filming a special, you know, new ending for the video. But we decided against it in the end because, you know, we'd done it in good faith at that time, and that's what it had to be, and the Ruttles were separate anyway, and for heaven's sake, you know, you can't do any good by doing things like that. But, you see, a lot of water's passed under the bridge since then, and what I don't want to do now, you know, because I mean, if I can explain, you know, partly why we've done it, is because people suggested that we did it.
Mm-hmm.
When it was pointed out to me, you know, well, the Beatles have got their anthology and they're emptying their cupboards, as it were, you know, surely the Ruttles have got to do something. So I asked the others, and I asked George Harrison, and he said, of course you should, you know, I mean, it's all part of the soup, which I think is a nice way of putting it.
Neil Innes, co-founder of the Ruttles and the Bonzo Dog Band. Our interview was recorded earlier this year. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.